We are to be doing the things that we have been taught and received from the Word and have been exemplified in the Word. This is for believers. If you're not a believer, it's not going to make sense. You try to go out, you'll become a Pharisee. If you're really good, you can make the outside really clean. If not, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to rebel. This is for those who have trusted in Christ Jesus.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Frank in New Jersey. He says, I am greatly, greatly affected by your ministry. I am wholeheartedly edified by the entire message. Well, Frank, I praise the Lord that God's word is working in your heart and that we have the privilege to share it, and we are so thankful for how God has opened the door for us to do so, and thank you so much for letting us know how he is working in your heart.
And Greg, it's been said that Christianity can be summed up in one word, done. All other world religions require you to do, 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 but Christ did all that needed to be done, and we no longer have to do anything to be right with him.
Well, certainly, Dave, when it comes to an understanding of salvation, it is completely done in Jesus Christ. The work is finished. There's nothing that we can do to be saved. Christ did it all. He paid the full price. But as we'll see, when someone has been truly changed through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then the Lord begins the process of sanctification. That's being set apart from sin unto himself. And true believers, when they trust in the living God by his power and strength, will then do what he says. Obedience, or doing, is a manifestation of a true, genuine relationship with the living God. We're going to take a look today at what we are to be doing as true believers. The text is Philippians chapter 4, verse 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, probably most of you have said that you have trusted in Jesus Christ, that you have faith in Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, at times, there are those who have faith, but that faith may not be a faith that saves. And what do I mean by that? In the book of James, James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what use is it, my brother, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Or literally in the Greek, is that saving faith? If your life hasn't changed, is the faith that you say you have really real? He even says later on in chapter 2 of James, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? We're going to see the reality today is that there are hearers of the word, and then there are those who hear and are changed by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ and are enabled then to do what God says. And so with that in mind, today's message is about answering the question, are you a doer of the word? I'm not saying a do-gooder, but a doer of the word, or just a deluded hearer? And we as believers should, by the power of Spirit, be just doing what he says. And it's my prayer, as you turn to our passage today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, that if you don't know the Lord, that the Lord would change you. Because there are some people who are trying to be doers their hardest. They're trying their hardest to obey God. It's just not happening. And the reality is maybe there's an issue in the heart that needs to be dealt with so that one can be right before the Lord, and then his power and strength can enable you to be a doer. Again, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 9, and we're rapidly coming to the end of our study in the book of Philippians to be praying about what the Lord would have us do next. Let me share the context for this book to bring us up to the place where we are today. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing the saints, and these are believers who are in Christ Jesus at Philippi. He is writing to them from Rome, and he is under house arrest 24/7 for preaching the gospel. This is one of his prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, and it most likely was written around 62 AD, about 10 years after he had the great privilege to share the gospel with those who began the church at Philippi. Now, the Apostle Paul and the Philippian church were very close to one another. We see that. And in chapter 1, he has already lovingly prayed for them, his desire for them. And he has shared and revealed his thankfulness for God's past work in them, and that he was confident that God would complete that work until the day of Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul has also shared his circumstances because they were concerned for him. He was in prison. It didn't appear as though he was able to do the work that God had called him to do, but he was in prison. But he said his circumstances had turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Although he was imprisoned, the gospel was not. And then we saw the attitude of the Apostle Paul. To live is Christ and to die is gain. But he understood that to live on would be more profitable for the Philippians. And he understood that whether in life or death, he desired that Christ would be magnified. And then at this point, he went to address the Philippians' attitudes. Where they were to be united, they were to be humble, they were to be like Christ Jesus, thinking like him. They were to have the mind of Christ. And after sharing the perfect example of humility, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, we see that he was exalted to his rightful place, again, as Lord of all, we see visibly that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because he is Lord of all, we were commanded in chapter 2 to obediently work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God was at work in us. You see, God works through his Spirit by his word in us, and we are to work that out in obedience as we trust him and obey him. And then we had the first basic command after that, which was to do all things without complaining and disputing, because we are lights in this world. The world complains about everything. The world disputes about everything. But we as believers need to take the command to heart and be obedient and not do so. And then Paul pointed out in the end of chapter 2, three selfless examples of humility, including himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus. And then in the beginning of chapter 3, he reminded us again, because we need to be reminded, that there are threats to our faith. There are false teachers and false brethren, or make-believers. And Paul says, hey, we are not like them. Beware of them. Beware of the dogs. We are the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision. And he says, here's what a true believer looks like, and a true one who is serving him, who worship in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh, boast in Christ Jesus, not in self, and put no confidence in the flesh. You see, the real deal as a Christian doesn't put confidence in their flesh, especially one who is leading and teaching, such as Paul, an apostle. And we see that the Apostle Paul said at that point, hey, if anyone had the credentials to put confidence in their flesh religiously, he was the one. And he says all the stuff that he had. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, all this stuff as to the law, blameless. Religiously, he had the cup on the outside, very clean. But when he came to Christ Jesus, he realized that everything was loss or refuse in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, knowing the God of the universe through a right relationship with him. And then we saw his all-consuming desire was just to do that, to be like Christ, to press forward to the goal, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to that upward call in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 3, he encouraged all of us believers to imitate him and those who walk like him, to think like him, to trust Jesus Christ, to focus on him, to not set your mind on the earthly things, but to focus on Christ. And then we came to chapter 4, where we were told to, therefore, my beloved, he says, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord. There's a lot of opposition right now if you're a true believer. If you want to do the right thing, you got all hell coming against you. You got the world, you got your own flesh, all these things. But when we stand firm in the Lord, he enables us to walk rightly. He delivers us from temptation. He protects us from the evil one. So stand firm in the Lord. It's the Lord is the one that holds you up. And then he began to address an issue in the body between two ladies who were following the Lord, but yet were having a spat. That they were to live in harmony, or literally the word said, be same-minded, the same thing we saw earlier. Think the way Christ revealed to us. He was obedient to the point of death. He was humble, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He saw others as more important than himself by obeying the Father's will. And that's how you get rid of disputes. You do the same thing. live in harmony in the Lord, Yudia and Syntyche. And then after that, we were shown how we can avoid the trap of worry and anxiety. And boy, it is a trap, and we all know it because we've all worried and we all are anxious at times. But for God's people, we need to remember that we are to let our forbearing spirit be known to all men, because the Lord is near. No matter what's happening to you, the Lord is near. He's taking care of things. He's watching over you. And then we saw the direct command, be anxious for nothing. But with prayer, thanksgiving, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard or garrison your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of worrying, pray about it. Bring those things up before God that you are concerned about. Stop worrying about it, but start bringing it before Him. Lord God, this situation is before me. I need your help. Help me to see it your way. Protect my heart and mind. Help me not to worry and focus on it, but to trust you because you're faithful. Thank you, Lord God. You're such a gracious God, but I'm going through this, and help me. Help me, Lord God. And then we came to the point in which we saw what we are to be focusing on. We'll review that in a minute, but it comes up to our passage where verses 8 and 9 are really together. We've studied verse 8 the last two times together, and we're going to study verse 9 today. So beginning with our passage, I'm going to review and read verse 8 and 9, and we'll talk about 8 for a minute, and then we'll go to verse 9, which we're going to be in. So again, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to back up to verse 8, and let's read that together. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You see, where our mind dwells is very important. What we think about is extremely important. In the Proverbs it says, so as the man thinks, so he is. What we think about. And we're to think about the things of Christ. Yes, we don't forget about what's going on around us. We don't forget about what's happening in our relationships at work and in the world. But we see those things filtered through these things, the truth, and those things of Christ which are good and right and just and honorable. Those things which are worthy of praise. Although we're going through difficulties, yes, I can praise the Lord God because I know greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I can praise Him because I know all things work together for good to those who love Him, right? Who are called according to His purpose. I can see things through His perspective, His will as revealed in His Word. And so we saw that this list encompassed the boundaries in which our thoughts should dwell. And if it's not there, then we need to confess. Yes, there are bad things, but we see them rightly through what God says. Every thought brought to this point. And you'll remember I shared this the last two times we were together in Philippians, that there are two commands, one in verse 8 and one in verse 9. The first one in verse 8 is, let your mind dwell on these things. That's the command. This is where you should be thinking. You see, our problem is stinking thinking. Our problem is thoughts that are out of control. And if you're a believer, we are to learn to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, the world can't do that. They don't know Christ, so they have to have all kinds of things to help them get their thoughts right, or whatever it might be, and it doesn't work. But we as believers are to hold every thought captive. We are to let our mind dwell on these things. And then for our passage, notice this is the command here in the middle of verse 9, practice these things. Practice these things. That's our command, and we're going to see that. So as we begin, notice that we are to be doing the things that we have been taught and received from the Word and have been exemplified in the Word. If this is for believers, if you're not a believer, it's not going to make sense. You try to go out, you'll become a Pharisee. It'll be all on the outside. If you're really good, you can make the outside really clean. If not, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to rebel. This is for those who have trusted in Christ Jesus. And so our passage says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the assumption is, yes, you have learned, you have received, and you have seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that what we want in all of our trouble? We want peace. And there's so much frantic search for peace in the midst of difficulty within people's lives. My parents used to call it the frantic search for happiness, but guess what? It doesn't fulfill. Only the God of peace can give you true peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, right? They have a false peace. It doesn't last. It always reaps something later. So we have this tremendous passage here. And again, the command is practice these things. Now we're going to look at what these things are, but I want to look at the verb first. I want to look at what we are to do, and then we'll talk about what these things are. Now this verb translated practice here is translated practice usually because the verb to do things when it's ongoing in Greek means to practice. So like if I'm to do something once, that's doing, right? But if I'm doing it over and over again, I'm practicing it. If I'm playing the trumpet or the French horn, practicing over and over again versus just playing it once, you see? And now there are two Greek words that are translated normally do and practice. The first one is poieo, and that just means to do or to practice when it's in the present tense, continually, habitually do. We see this in 1 John. But then there's another word which is used in our passage called proso. And it speaks of doing, same thing, or practicing if it's ongoing, but it carries a different sense to it. Greek language is very vivid. It carries the sense of accomplishing. Don't just do it, but accomplish it. Over and over again, he's going to say. So then the doing has the idea of accomplishing or carrying out an action. So like poieo, we see that, but it's ongoing. And that's why it's translated practice. It's in the present tense. And it is, for believers, the command. We are commanded here by God through his word, and Paul inspired by the Spirit, to practice these things. To continually, habitually accomplish, carry out, or do these things. We are to continually, habitually accomplish, carry out, do these things. That's the main command here. But what is it that we are to be continually accomplishing as believers? What are we to be doing? Are we to be continually feeding the poor, continually evangelizing, continually worshiping? What are we to do? You see, the world in the church is very good at giving lists of things to do. 10 things you must do to have a good marriage. 10 purposes, whatever it might be. There's a lot of lists, but here we're going to see it has to do with what God has revealed in his word. So what are these things? Let's read them. Verse 9. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, or continually, habitually accomplish these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now there's 4 other verbs here. Learned, aorist tense, the things that you've learned already. The things that you've received already, it's a done deal. The things that you have heard and seen in me, Paul says, done deal. And as to the grammar of this passage, the way it goes is you have the things you have learned, done deal. The things you have received, done deal. And then you have the sense heard and seen in me, which refers to the Apostle Paul. So for all of us, the things we have learned, received, and then the things we have heard and seen in the Apostle Paul here in context. So then continually practice, accomplish the things that they had first of all learned. The things that they had learned. And so what have they learned? What is he talking about here? What does he talk about when we speak of what believers have learned? What is he speaking of when he speaks of these people here? What you have learned, Philippians, practice this, accomplish this. Well, the verb translated learned here is monthano. It's the exact same verb that speaks of a disciple, a learner. It speaks of someone who has placed themselves under authority to learn, a disciple. But this here is the idea of learning. It speaks of learning something that has been taught or observed. And it's crucial that we understand what Paul is saying here, because our behavior, what we do or accomplish in Christ, is based on what we have learned, completed action. It's not based on our feelings. It's not based on our own wisdom. It's not based on our own abilities. It's not based on our preferences. It's not based on our works. It's not based on our intellect. It is based on what we have learned. And the assumption is, believer, you've learned. You've learned from the Lord. Now, Paul knows that this church was fed. Paul knows that they knew the truth that he had brought to them. He knew that they had learned. And so then we see that we are to be accomplishing what we have learned. It is faith that works. It is faith that actually works. It's a real faith, not a dead faith. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Now, the religious can do all kinds of works externally. That's not what this is talking about. This is obedience that is driven from faith, from genuine faith in the person of Jesus Christ, believing what he said and acting upon his will from his word. You see, we need to recognize the incredible importance of this simple statement. The Christian life cannot be lived apart from being taught, apart from receiving sound teaching. And again, isn't that not what disciples are? In Matthew 28, turn with me to Matthew 28, what is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28. And the Lord Jesus, after having risen from the dead, has gathered his disciples and he is giving them his instructions. Now, this has always been kind of twisted around, and if we just read it rightly, I think we'll understand it. This is really a verse that's been used for everybody to go everywhere in the world and start evangelizing. I don't think that's exactly what it says. We're going to see that evangelism is a must, but it's more than that. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's risen from the dead. He's proved who he really is. Go, therefore, or literally, in your going, it's a participle. As you go, do what? Make disciples. That's the thing. That's the actual command. Make disciples. Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first point is, you don't make a disciple of someone who is not saved. You don't make a disciple of someone who has not claimed that they've trusted in Christ and evidenced that claim by an outward action of baptism. You don't disciple people who aren't truly saved. First step, they need to be saved. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then notice this, you have baptizing, ing, and teaching. So make disciples, the main verb, then baptizing and teaching. That's how you do it. Affirming they're truly saved. Secondly, notice what he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. He's talking to disciples. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. That's a disciple. A disciple is one who has placed themselves under the authority of Christ to learn from him so that they would then obey or observe what he has said. Teaching them to observe all that I have said, he says here. Teaching them. That's what we are. If you say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, that means you have submitted yourself to learn his will and you are desiring to have his will over your will in your life. Now, it's a struggle. I know that, and we fail. That's why true believers are the confessors of sin. True believers confess sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, give me some ways that I can improve my doing.
Well, Dave, the reality is that the Lord God gives us in his word everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him and by his precious and magnificent promises. And so we need to be absorbed in the word, meditating on him, having his word filtering through our everyday thoughts and then thus our actions. You see, when you trust in Jesus Christ, his word dwelling richly, you'll find that faith works or faith does. The Lord will lead you and cause you to be convicted and corrected and trained and do whatever you should be doing in your everyday life. Now, Dave, God has a lot to say in his word about how true believers are to function. We need to, by his power and strength, first of all, in the context of faith, start with the things that are clear and obvious. Then the Lord will take care of those things which are not so clear. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, as his word dwells richly in your heart in the context of faith in Jesus Christ, he will empower you to do what he wants you to do, that which is clearly revealed in his word, and he will get all the glory for what he does through you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.